Well, more correctly, is the fact that in the church we are a family, we are God's family, and that we should try to edify one another in all that we do. We should never, as individual or as group, engage in either words or activities which diminish, detract, or take away from other individual or other group in the church. Doing that is ungodly. Are we all there? We are not there. It is wrong. It is sinful. It is against the will of God to foster or to encourage sectarianism in the church. Cliqueism, partyism, divisive or divisiveness in the church. Any brother or sister that you see in the church want to create an atmosphere of the us and the them, it's good to keep yourself away from that person, because you have sin there. I want to look on some terms, words, phraseology tonight. But last week, I threw some passages like Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verse 17, chapter 15, verse 5, chapter 28, verse 22, 1 Corinthians 11, 19, Galatians 5, 20. Let us hear 1 Corinthians 11, 19. Let us hear that passage.
For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you.
The word heresies. And it's important that we get the idea in this word. The word heresies and the word sect, S-E-C-T, party, division or divisiveness, all of these are contained in that one word, heresies. And you remember what was happening at Corinth. You have the St. Paul group, the St. Peter's group, the St. Apollos group. Huh? And that was condemned. Anywhere in the church, in fact, there should be no exclusive group in the church. In in the church, there ought to be any group inclusive. That is, any brother or sister who wish to join ladies' class should be open to all the ladies. Men's class should be open to all the men. A visitation group should be open to every brother, every sister who want to join that group. We are getting it? Should I go on? You see, the word here is it. Paul was saying, and there another passage, that from what is going on at Corinth, there must be this party spirit, this divisiveness. He was condemning that. Look at the word in Titus chapter 3:10.
A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject.
Read again.
A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject.
A man who is an heretic, after the first and second, in fact, it's not on second, after the first or second. You can withdraw from that person or isolate yourself from that person after one admonition. The correct original Greek is not after the first and, it's after the first or. And the word here is describing a person who foster or occasion division, party spirit, or the us and them attitude in the church. That's what under condemnation here. An heretic after the first or the second admonition reject anybody, any brother in the church, any sister who you see tend to either speak or do things to create division, to undermine existing group, to detract away from existing group or person, to doing things or saying things to compete with existing, you do not become a part of that person's sin. That's right. Because God will hold you responsible. I need not go over these passages while I didn't read all of them, but you well aware of the many passages in the Bible. A lot of them in Corinthians, which talks about edify. And the idea there that whatever we do in the church, we must have in view the building up of either other individual or other group. Many of us let the devil rule us, so we will engage in talk and words and activity that undermines, detract, diminish other group. In word like heresies, party spirit, and all of this, that's what is under condemnation here. It is wrong it is ungodly, and you must watch for it. Never encourage it, never be a part of it. Always be willing to look into whether what you are doing or what another person who is encouraging you to become a part of something, always look into how much does this new group or new undertaking support or distract from existing group. Because if it takes away or distract from existing group, something is wrong. It must always edify. And that is the idea. Here is another thing to be aware of. There are lots of terms and phraseology, religiously speaking, that we hear out there. And a lot of us, once we hear them, we grab them up. Many of us have never looked into or asked the wise question, what does this mean? Where will this take us? What is behind this phraseology? Over the past many months, I spoke, just announced about missionary society. I throw out also things like prayer warriors, praise and worship our praise team. First, just as an illustration, in the Christian church, well, in the U.S., some of them are called Christian church. Out here, we call Church of Christ, the group that use instrumental music. But what many of you don't know, that they break away from the Lord's church some years ago, in the early 20th century, 1906, somewhere about there. And watch here. When they broke away, not long after they broke away, within that group, they formed what is called the Missionary Society. That was formed as a small group or movement within the Christian church. But that missionary society, well, what is it about, Brother Mitchell? It was a group formed, that congregation of that group that wanted to do missionary work can do it through that group. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. The only thing that is wrong with that, and I said the only thing, is that God placed in each congregation the responsibility to do missionary work. God never meant that an independent group be formed outside any congregation to do missionary work. Now, this missionary society have grown out to where it is almost totally independent of any local congregation. It is an organization within the organization. And when most of the people like Lloyd Morris, who started their work in Montego Bay, Vincent Graham, who preached right beside where O'Neill the Williams had, where those have been close friends of mine. Most of them are supported through the missionary society. No. Well, I mean, they are wrong on many other things anyway. But I'm just showing you that this started out as a little group. But it reached the point where it is not an organization independent within their group. And that's the way, again, may I? It's important that we understand. God never meant for the church evangelistic effort, missionary effort, to be put outside of the church in the hands or responsibility of any other group or society. God never meant for that. So we may look on some things and see, well, we don't see anything wrong with that. It's not what you and I see wrong with it, it's what God sees wrong with it. And if God originally placed that in the hands of the church, He doesn't want it to be taken out and to be given to any other group. Are we there? Another illustration. Praise and worship. Praise and worship. Praise and worship. Let me give you the stratification. In the denominational world, we first have the choir. I was here trying to remember if the I come before the O. What? But okay. We have the choir. And you remember what the choir was about? I grew up knowing about the choir. The choir was where you select, where people form a group in the church. And they would probably come on the platform for a 10 or 15 or 20 minutes and entertain the rest of the audience before worship. But, wait, and the choir was considered a part of worship. What the choir did is that everybody has sit down there on the choir, made up of men and women. They would come, and be it for 10 or whatever, they would sing song. And we down there, we would be entertained. We just sit and enjoy. But here's a thing about the choir too. Many people who want to join the choir group, if they didn't have the right voice, they were not qualified. Right there, something is wrong. Because you see, in true worship, God no watch if your voice is like an angel or not. Any voice that you as a brother or sister have, you are expected by God to give worship and praise to God. Now, from the choir group, it was from the denominational choir group that comes what is known as the praise team. That's right. And now all these, you know, these are largely denominational terms. The praise team. And growing out of the praise team, just two Sundays ago, having my breakfast and the radio was on one of these denominational preachers, and it's like he was saying something to the group, and he called out to the praise team, or the praise and worship team. Now, from the praise team come praise and worship. May I? In any true worship of God, the entire audience, the entire church, the totality of the Christian in that audience make up the praise team. In any true worship, you can never have as true worship to God 10, 15, 30, 40, 50, 100 people selected as a praise team. And the rest of the Christian is not part of that praise team. In true worship, every true child of God ought to be a part of the praise team. That is, if we are going to use that term, put the proper way, every true child of God ought to engage in worshiping God. In true worship, you cannot have entertainers and the entertained. Did you get that? In no worship that is directed to God can we have some who are doing the entertainment and those who are being entertained. That's not worship. When you engage in things like that and feel you're worshiping, you are self-deluded. You are deceiving yourself. Each worshiper must, without exception, each worshiper must offer up his or her worship to God for himself. Each worshiper must offer up worship to the one each worshiper must offer up his or her worship to the one audience. And that audience is God. That's the one audience that we must be concerned with when we are worshiping God. Not the people by which you are surrounded. Because each person surrounding you ought to be offered up to that one divine audience, which is God. Never should we be thinking in terms of how what we are doing in worshiping, in worship, pleasing this brother, pleasing that brother, that sister. That should not be our concern. Our concern must be how much what I am doing as an individual is pleasing and acceptable to God. That should be the concern. And remember, the one object which worship is given is the Almighty God. Are we there? Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Let us hear.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually.
That let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is
the fruit of our lips.
The fruit of our lips.
Giving thanks to his name.
And that is each one of us. 1 Peter 2, verse 5.
Ye also, as lively stones.
We, the Christians, as stones that are alive,
are built up a spiritual house.
That spiritual house is the church of Christ.
And holy priesthood.
We comprise an holy priesthood. That's why we can offer praise and sacrifice and worship to God. Because we are God's priests, the Christians.
To offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Y'all hear that?
Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
We were called for that. To offer up sacrifices that are spiritual. And sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Which?
By Jesus Christ.
May I? Did you hear that? No brother or sister can sing praise to God for another brother or sister in worship. You cannot sing praises to God for me. And I cannot sing praises to God for you. You know why? Worship is an individual thing. If I do it right, I am doing it for myself, which means it is I who is giving it to God, not I who is doing it for you. That cannot be done. We may teach and admonish one another in songs. But the praise goes up to God on an individual basis. The praise always goes up to God. Ephesians 5:19. Ephesians 5:19.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
You notice there, to the Lord. Speaking to yourself in psalms, etc., etc. And doing what?
Making melody in your heart to the Lord.
To your brother or sister sitting by.
Making melody in your heart to the Lord.
It must be made to God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
You notice again, to the Lord. In Ephesians, it was to the Lord. In Colossians, it is to the Lord. That's what worship is about. No group should be formed where it helps to transform worship into entertainment. It doesn't mean we may not plan to have programs at church, healthy entertainment. But we must always understand that those programs we have here to entertain ourselves, they are not worship. May I? We have to watch some of the phraseology we hear out there in the world. You know, when Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar captured Israel, there was a process of turning the entire mindset of the brilliant Israelite into Babylonians. For the past many, for well over a year now, I've been planning to have a lesson on that. And that is the assimilation process that Nebuchadnezzar's expert work of, whereby the Israelites should first be taught the language of the Babylonian. Are we all there? The language, words, vocabulary of the Babylonian. Then the Israelites were also to be fed with the Babylonian diet. And all that comprises the process of assimilation, whereby the Israelites were little by little to forget who they are and forget their identity, the very way they talk. They would no more be Israelite but Babylonian. I said that to say this. Those of us who are so quick to pick up religious phraseology from the denomination, we are at the mercy of Satan. For example, from the praise team in the denominational world, we have praise dance. That's a fact. We have the praise dance. From that, we have dance ministries. Are we all there? Dance ministries. You have young people who belong to that ministry in these denominations, where they go and visit the elderly, and how they encourage the elderly is to dance. Don't be surprised if sometime from now you hear somebody suggesting how good that is for the church. The praise dance, then the dance ministry. You have also the praise dancers. And you see, a lot of people believe just add the word praise to it, change everything. It remains as sinful and as ungodly and as devilish as anything else. I try to convince my Pentecostal friend that there's no such thing as spiritual dance. That's a popular thing in the Pentecostal church, our holy dance. They rock their body and their body movement will beat anybody at the club. And they think that just adding the word praise or holy to change it. No, dancing is generally a sensuous thing. It has no place in Christianity. And if you are there thinking about David, remember the Bible says, at the time when men and women were ignorant, God winked at. That means wink at their sin. David had multiplicity of wives. That was sin dear then and it is sinful now. Because God permitted it then, doesn't mean it was not sinful. So watch these terms and watch for brothers and sisters who will quickly hear them and pick them up. Prayer warriors. Do we ask, what is this about? Where will this go from here? That is, when we pick up these terms. May I? Religious leaders in the denominational world talk about clerical attire. That means if you are invited to certain religious whatever, if you do not have on the clerical attire to show that you are a cleric, you are a church leader. Are we all there? One of the first questions to be asked in that is, when I attire myself differently from any brother in the church, what is my motive? What am I trying to achieve? Because as a brother in the church, be I'm a preacher, elder, or apostle for that reason, the Almighty God never meant for me to show that by my attire. So we are to watch when we pick up these things from the denominational world, we understand where they tend to lead. And we must understand the devilment that is found in so many of these phraseology. In closing, in fact, let me hear 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, 14.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Read it again.
But continue thou in the things...
Paul is encouraging Timothy to stay in what
thou hast learned.
He learned. And by this Paul meant what the truth that Timothy had been taught. He said, not only that, make sure you examine who you learn it from. Because there are something you get it from the wrong source, and that alone tell you that the thing can't be right. Read it again, brother.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Another passage that I want to share, I want to look on the context. We will not have the time tonight. Is where when Moses came down from the mountain and saw the Israelites worshipping an idol. Among the things that Moses said is, who is on the Lord's side? Come out. Separation. Those who were on the Lord's side. Separate yourself from those who participated in the idol worshipping. And then Moses took some drastic step there. It is found in the book of Exodus chapter 32, especially from verse 24 following. Who is on the Lord's side? Brothers and sisters, please be not the people who are gullible religiously. Always be willing to examine the things that come to you in the name of religion. Christians are encouraged to be people who discriminate. That is, we must always sift what comes to us in the name of Christianity and then hold on to that which is in keeping with God's will. Eh? Prove all things. Hold on to that which is good. So be wary of these religious phraseology that so many heard out there, be it the praise team, praise and worship, choir, prayer warriors and whatever, be wary. And watch out for anything that's going to distract from other groups. Watch out for brothers and sisters who are divisive, be it in their speaking or in their action. We were never meant to be like that. We were meant to always do and engage in things that edify one another.